hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial hall do him all majesty.
Thank you. Thanks. Those of you who need to be baptized next Sunday, please sign this sheet for Ann, because she makes the certificates and has to get a little jump on that. Print your name, please. Some of you write like me. Just print your name. And anybody here who wants to be baptized that is a Christian, has accepted the Lord as your Savior, that's the only requirement. And you bring your stuff, and we'll have a baptismal service after church next Sunday, if you please be here and do that. The CD Sunday, for all those who make that ministry possible, we thank you. Donnie told me this morning we're sending out a considerable number of those, and that's good. And I run into people all the time. Say, my mother listens to the CDs, and hears you on the radio. And I said, would you like some sent to her? Oh, I didn't know you did that. Yeah, we do that. So we're steady adding people like that. So be able to help that one. That will sure help. Put your name on the sign-up sheet. All right, we got that for baptism. Be sure and put your T-shirt size, because we do have the T-shirts. Baptized to Church of the Lost and Found. I was baptized in the ocean. And we give you those. No cost at all. We're glad to do that. The Bible study that Bob was talking about, you'll find it to be quite interesting. I ran across a book Tim LaHaye has put out concerning charts. And these have charts that cover everything from A to Z in the Bible. And it's easier to understand if you can get somewhat of a picture of where you're going. It's like a road map. If you know which direction you're heading in, you're a little bit you're going to get there better, whether us gentlemen will stop my directions or not. And this will take a little while to get through. But when you get through that, you'll know how to explain better the faith that you have. And the Bible says to be ready always to give an answer for the hope that's in you. And when you can do that and show that to people, and have it in your mind as it is here, it will help you considerably, I promise. We started that just last week, and if you'll come this week, we'll make sure we get books for you and get you started. And it's an hour well spent, I promise you. And thank you for enduring last week without Susan. That's hard to do. The CDs that were recorded on the right side this week, we were glad of that. They'll be sent out. We missed two Sundays of CDs. And it's too late. It was your fault. We're telling it. It was. Yeah, it's all right. Ann said you got 500 more. Give it up. Just listen to them. Ann's sick this morning. Please pray for her. And we got several people here in the real estate business that have some houses that need to be sold. And if you will pray for that condition to lit up so they can get their houses sold. There's several here. In this room, there are millions of dollars at stake, is what I'm telling you. So please pray that the Lord will send the right people with the right credentials to the right place, and they can get the right house. And prayer works. It does. I know. I'm standing here because of it. So any new people here this morning? Anybody here for the first time? All right. We got four or five. Thank you. Over here. Back here. All right. That's good. We welcome you. Welcome you for being here. So met some folks in Pennsylvania. I told them about Mike, and he's here. And he always greets the people of Pennsylvania, goes over and makes them feel at home, and that's a nice thing to do. So if you brought a Bible, turn to the book of Matthew. We'll be at Matthew 22:41 is where we will begin this morning. I always like to give you time to get there, and then we'll pray and read the scriptures and expound them. So we're glad you're here this morning. If you have a need, you get on our prayer list. People get that all over the country. We send that to several hundred homes. Some of them are churches that get it, and then you're on their prayer list. And it helps. Believe me, it helps. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior and King. We thank you that this morning we know that the Creator of the universe will take time to hear our prayer and supplication. Thank you for that. What an awesome thing to contemplate. I ask that you be with us this morning as we study your word, for thy word is truth, O Lord. In a time where there's not much truth being spoken and lies are at every level, we like to come in and spread the truth again, that someone may finally say, oh, I didn't know there is a Savior and he can be mine. As always, remove me from this place that you be heard. Anything I say that should be forgotten, please make it be, and all that should be remembered, please have it be. That of above all you be glorified, the church edified, and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. We were wondering, as always, during the week, you look for a sign of what to preach about, and what section of the scriptures to go to, and they come in various and sundry ways. And we had a little meeting at the, what do you call that meeting down there, the whole Jack, that you, what it? The Worldview Discussion Group. I went, and they had two or three atheists. I won't be invited back, I'm sure. But we discussed things. Jim Dumas, friend of Jack's, put that together, and there's some very intelligent people go and give different points of view and ask questions and do critical analysis and critical thinking while I'm getting coffee, and they look at it as a way to get different points of view and all that and all, and I don't say anything. Jim isn't with us this morning. I'd say it if he was here, but I look at things like that in a different way. When an atheist shows up at a Christian meeting of any kind, he did not come of his own accord. He was sent by he who sends him, controls him, whether he knows it or not, and his purpose in being there is to disrupt the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And others will talk to them nicely and hold their temper and not get loud, but after about 30 seconds, I can't do that any longer, and go ahead and speak my piece. And it's come out of the closet time for Christians, you see. We've been trampled on so much and laid down like doormats. Somewhere along the line, we got the idea that a Christian is to lay down and let people run right over them and do anything they want to him, and that's not true at all. And people always say, well, you know, the Bible says, turn the other cheek. Please understand that's kingdom gospel. That's not for now. If you will read a few more pages, it will tell you to put up with somebody as much as in you is. And when the as much as in you is over, I unload. Okay? And that's what we want you to do. Get your Christmas button, wear it, and every time somebody says to you, "Happy holiday," stop right there and say, "Which holiday are you wishing me happiness in?" And they'll Porky Pig it. Beep, beep, beep. Well, what a minute. I say, no, the holiday is right here. The holiday is Christmas. It's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you a cross, a card, read that. You need to get to know him because you're already confused about whose birthday it is. Have a nice day. Okay. All right. Time to come back. Time to see. Salvation Army is the only ones who got the church name right. They're the only ones who got the church name right. And I see them, Church of the Lamb, and everybody's like, the Lamb came Christmas, the Lion's coming soon. It's over for the Lamb, okay? Love the Lamb. The Lamb shed his blood. The Lion has come to clean things up. And he's coming to rule with a rod of iron, not a switch off a tree, not a nice conversation, not a debate or critical analysis. He's coming with a rod of iron. You can either be behind him watching what he does or in front of him and get what he does. But believe me, you'll be there. And we find out when we have Christians who are ashamed of their faith, not saying that you are. You're a good testimony for what you do here, and we're proud of you. Just keep it up. Keep it up. We're going to back up an inch. Not going back up an inch. What I preach, there's a bill in Congress right now that they will put me in jail for what I preach here. So we're going to preach it till they come. Then we're going to preach it when they're here. And then we'll preach it from the jail. Okay? Okay? And don't, huh? Absolutely. Well, get in there with me. Yeah, do one. I mean, there's a war on, folks. It hadn't started now. It started a long time ago. That's what we're preaching about this morning is questions. You have questions, don't you? Boy, I don't know. I wonder what that means in Scripture. That's why we have Bible study. Please come and we'll answer some of the questions that you have. We'll answer some of the questions that you have here. You see, there's 9 million different opinions. They like noses. Everybody's got one. Okay? And they say when two Jews are arguing, there's three different opinions being discussed. And it is with Gentiles too. And Jesus was steadily harassed by the lawyers, by the Pharisees, by the Sadducees, the religionists, the non-religionists. And it wasn't nice from the beginning. Well, after Jesus was crucified, they ridiculed Christians. They'd kill a donkey and cut his head off, nail it to a cross, and put it on a wall. That a jackass died. No, a jackass made the sign. And we've caught it ever since and going to catch it again. And it's going to get worse. Our government just decided we would honor Ramadan or Ramadanadingo, whatever it is they hold. Why in the world would I recognize a religion that has no God? Why should I do that? Why should I worship the moon god? You can't force me to do that. I'm not going to celebrate that holiday. And I'm going to write somebody, I want school lit out for Ramadan, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, Halloween, get the devil in there. I want the Hindus, the Buddhists, I want the Zionists, I want the Zoroastrians, I want the atheists. We'll just cut school out and have holidays. See? Right? That's what they've done anyway, hasn't it? But that mark the decline of the educational system of the United States from 1963. You can get the graphs and mark the decline from that day. The day they removed Scripture from school. Okay. How do you expect kids to act right when they're taught there's no morals? There are no absolutes. There's no truth. And you came from an animal. Now, exactly what you expect them to do when you bring somebody up who believes that. The end result of that teaching has a name. It's called Adolf Hitler. It's called Mao Zedong. It's called Attila the Hun. It's called every God-hating individual born in this world to cause trouble against the living God. That's who those people are. Now, Jesus was asked four questions before this. You can read them back in Matthew. He was asked by the Sadducees, I believe, about the baptism of John. You remember that? They said, baptism from heaven or baptism of men? Jesus would confuse them so bad they didn't know what to do. Whose baptism is it? Is it of heaven or men? He asked them. They didn't know. They came to him and said, what about money? We're supposed to pay our taxes. Trying to fool him, trying to trap him. What should we do about money? You say this and the government says that. What should we do? He said, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar and unto God what belongs to God. What are you going to do with that? It's the government's money, but God owns everything. Now what are you going to do? You can't question Christ. Sitting with a lady, the Pharisees came and said, look, this woman we know has had seven husbands. One died, and then as the law requires, her brother married her to raise the family, and then he died. And this happened seven times. Now, in the hereafter, whose wife shall she be? Trying to get him to violate the law, you see. And he said, in the hereafter, there'll be no marrying. He explained it to him. What you going to do with Jesus? What's the greatest commandment? They asked him. They wanted him to pick one of the commandments so they could say, well, see, he's partial. He doesn't believe in the other commandments. He's put one commandment over the other. God said, look, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. These encompass all the commandments. Now you think about that. If you did those two things, who do you steal from? Who do you lie to? Who do you fight? Who do you cheat? Nobody. Everything would be all right. Can you believe something so simple as that could answer all the questions of mankind that simply? He answered them because he is wisdom. He is the truth. And people look for the truth in college, and they look for it in science, and they look for it in math, and they look for it everywhere they can look for it except in a place that has it, and that's his book. Thy truth, thy word is truth, the scripture said. And he said, this is the written word of God. If it's the word of God, why would you even look for an error? If it's the word of God, it can't be full of errors or have one. Because then it couldn't be God's, because God can't make an error. So you come down real quick. You either believe in God or you don't. You either believe his word or you don't. It's rubber hit the road time, folks. This part-time Christianity and playing church ain't going to get it. We got to put on the armor and find out what the book said and get in people's face when they don't like it. Well, you go. I love Cantor. Cantor was a converted Muslim. Cantor is head of Falwell's Divinity School. We heard him speak at the Southern Evangelical Seminary when we went there, Jack and I and a couple of us. And he said, look, we are a boil on the body of Christ. Get used to it. The mainline church isn't going to like us. Get used to it. The average so-called Christian is going to be ashamed of us. Get used to it. You've had them in your family. You remember when the family got together at Thanksgiving, reluctantly, nobody really wanted to be there because they didn't like each other. But they gathered up because that's what you've always done. And everybody's there and trying to show the new Rolex and the new car and tell how well they're doing. You know, one-upmanship, you know how it works. But there's always a Granny Smith or Uncle Bob who didn't get the message, and he's a redneck, fundamental, Bible-believing, blood-washed Christian. And inevitably, he's going to start asking relatives if they're saved, if they're going to hell. Have they joined the church yet? What's going to happen? Gee, you're looking whole. Death's around the corner. What you going to do when it comes? Inevitably. And they said, he ruined Thanksgiving. No, he made it. He ruined it. And you were ashamed of him. You were ashamed of it. You've had a friend. I have. You've had done it through your lifetime. Don't invite him. Why? Because all he'll talk about is the Bible and Jesus. Don't invite him. Oh, we didn't want to talk about that? No. We want to talk about important things. Like, isn't Halloween about on us? Do you believe Halloween has now grown to be the second largest money-making holiday we have? Christmas is first. Halloween is second. I'm looking for Walmart and the rest of them to start selling bokas for you ladies to wear next year. You know, that's that Captain Marvel cape the folks wear in Iran. Trying to make us something we aren't. It's always been that way. And it's time for us to say, no, we're going to be what we are and stand at the gates of hell and proclaim it. And if you don't like it, talk to my elder brother. Because all you can do is kill me, and all that will do is send me home. Help yourself. Until the Christians of America get that way, we're going to hell in a handbasket, folks. And this country does not stand a prayer. Not a prayer. And ecumenism, let's get everybody together in one flock and be friendly. You get in the flock. Listen real careful as you'll leave here thinking I'm ugly. You stay with the flock, you'll get flocked. The ecumenical movement will send you to hell. Religion has sent more people to hell than anything on earth. And the devil invented most of it. So you better learn this book. The one question, not just those answered to, asked to Jesus, how simple to come at the man who holds all the knowledge and all the wisdom of the universe and ask him simple-minded questions like this and him answer you and Baptist over. The greatest question ever asked was asked by Jesus to these people. He finally got tired of it. The Pharisees were the lawyers. The Pharisees were the nitpickers. They couldn't wait to catch him doing something wrong. The Sadducees was another group of Jews, and they were the non-believers. They were the liberals. They didn't believe in heaven or hell. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in devils. They didn't believe in anything. That's why they're so sad, you see. That's why they named them that. Not really, but doesn't it fit? See. The greatest question ever asked was asked to these people, and it'll be asked to you. Verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither dared any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. So what did he mean when he said this? You see, when they asked, when he asked, Jesus asked, what think ye of Christ? He wasn't saying, what think ye of me? He wasn't saying, I've come here and you've seen what I've done. What do you think about this? How am I getting along with you? Who do you think I am? He was talking about the Messiah that these Jews are looking for. Sadducees and Pharisees and all the Jews were looking for their Messiah to come. he was to accomplish certain things, and when Jesus did them, they still overlooked him. He became a stumbling stone to them. They didn't recognize he was their Messiah, so they kept looking for him. I ate dinner with a Jewish fellow who used to come to church here when he was in town, and we were eating dinner with his grandfather at a Jewish restaurant downtown. And he said, Beaver, I just assume you're not mentioned that I've been going to church with you. My grandfather is an old man, and he just may have a heart attack at the table. And I said, we'll honor that. That'll be good. And we began to talk, and inevitably, you know it's coming. Well, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a preacher. Preacher of the gospel. Well, that's interesting. I said, yeah, don't get upset. We are looking for the same Messiah. The difference between you and I is I believe he already came once and is coming again. You missed him the first time, but you'll recognize him when he comes again. That's the difference between you and I. And you see, religion overlook Christ. Zealousness can overlook Christ. Devotion can overlook Christ. You can be as religious as you want to. I mean, a voodoo doctor, how religious do you get, son? How zealous do you get to drink blood out of a skull? How dedicated do you get to pick up serpents that if they bite you, you're dead? I mean, a Zulu witch doctor is a dedicated man. That's his life. And his God keeps him alive. He's called Satan. It's not religious zeal that will do it. When Jesus asked them, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? He's asking them a question to cause them to think about who is possibly eligible to be the Messiah. When they said the son of David, they're correct. He is the son of David. They just didn't know how. They couldn't understand how a son of David could be the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah somehow to be a son of man. Jesus was the son of David because he came through the line of Mary, who was a virgin, but by virtue of that line, he has access to the throne of David. They were talking to the Messiah and didn't know it. They were talking to the Son of Man. That was Jesus' favorite name for himself, the Son of Man. It didn't mean that he had a human father and was his son, like the mistaken Muslims think we believe. And they say Jesus can't be the Son of God because God wasn't married and God didn't have any children. Well, you just put God on a human level anyhow and you missed the boat, didn't you? He's the Son of the living God. He's part of the Trinity. He's as much God as God the Father and God the Spirit, but he's God the Son. Why did we need one? Because somebody had to live a perfect life to stand between the Father and you and me when we pray on our behalf. We had to have an advocate. There is not a man in the world who could reach that status. There's never been a man born who did no sin other than Christ Jesus. Follow one around for half a day and you will see him sin. We are pumped up. Well, so-and-so did this, and wasn't he wonderful? And some of the richest part of people in this part of the country bought, I think it's about a mile of beachfront. When this ambassador from nowhere came over here, Bubba Baba, El Baba, Al Booba, you know who he is. They got a park down here where you go and meditate, see? And they hoodooed one of the wealthiest families in this area. They bought that a mile of beachfront. Can you imagine the value of that today? And they gave it to him. And it's the spiritual part. No, it's a place for the squirrels to live. That's all it is. And they worship this man. Wouldn't take you long to find sin in his life. The Muslims worship Muhammad, whether they say they do or don't. Muhammad was married 11 times that we know of, closer to 14, one to a 9-year-old, and he consummated the marriage to a 9-year-old. This is a man you're going to follow? This is a man you want your kids to grow up and be like? This is a man you're going to hold up as your religious leader? This is a man you're going to depend on his teachings to take you to heaven? You're a blind man. How in the world, thank you, sir, how in the world are you going to follow a man like that? Where did your Messiah come from? Jesus wanted them to wonder. Have you noticed we'll get a guy, as long, I don't know what it is with water. If you can cross water, you can become a hero. He's from the other side of the sea. And they flew the little fat boy into Hollywood. You remember him, the Lord from heaven in the 747? Remember him? Flew him over and put him on the mountain. He went up by helicopter because if he had walked, his legs would fall off. And he was a guru. And they set him up there on a blanket and spread flowers around him. And he had all the movie stars. They had to walk. They walked up the mountain, and oh, they couldn't get over his wisdom, and they couldn't get over his whatever. And I laughed. Dave Smith, who gave us this cross here, he was telling me about a crazy friend of ours, and he's not the only crazy one we got, but one of them. He was in California, and he had flipped out. He took a little trip on LSD and didn't get a round-trip ticket. And he was out there pushing a bicycle instead of riding it around California. Crazy as loon. And he got up with this group, with the little guru, came back telling David about it. David got a good sense of humor anyhow, and had a big poster of him on the wall, and David gave him a place to stay because we were old friends. And he said, Ted, says, your man here, tell me about him. He said, well, he's God. And David said, he is. He said, yeah. He said, well, let me have a look at him. He said, that ain't him, Ted. He said, why? He said, he's wearing a Rolex. God don't need to know what time it is. I mean, their whole theory gone over a watch. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Jesus wanted him to think. Who's going to give birth to this Messiah? Do you know any couple in the world that can give birth to a Messiah? To a God-man? Who's eligible for that? You know anybody eligible for that? And then they're saying, no, I don't guess so. Because he's saying the real Messiah wasn't born of man. Isaiah the prophet 9:6 told you, a virgin shall conceive a child. The virgin. The liberal theologians who don't believe in Christ, disdain the Bible, and are on their way to hell, argued that for years. Well, that word really means Alma. And that word really means just a young maiden. Yes, it does. You're exactly right. In the Old Testament. And it means a young maiden of marriageable age, however, one who has not had sex. And every time it's used that way in the Old Testament, it's used that way to indicate a virgin. When it was translated into the New, the Hebrew to the Greek used parthenos. It can only mean virgin. You see, nothing's in this book by mistake. Even the little bitty things count. It says not one jot or tittle will be left out, will go unfulfilled, that's written in this book. Nothing in there. Everything. Walking through, my brother finished Bob Jones, and I wasn't allowed to go. But we walked through their museum up there. Beautiful place. If you've never been, you need to go if you're in that area. And we saw the bricks made without straw, and we made with all these kind of things they have from the Holy Land. And we show some Jewish writing, and my brother pointed something out, and I said, you see that little speck, that little tiny speck, Bill? And he said, yeah. I said, that's a jot. And you see the other little bitty one up there? I said, that's a tittle. down to the smallest jot and tittle. It's all true. It's what God's telling you. So he's getting them to think, well, where could a Messiah come from? Well, why don't you read your own testament and find out where he could come from? He came from the Virgin. He was born at the place it said he'd be born at. Miracles occurred at his birth. Even the stars that showed where he was going to be, that the camel riders came 2 years later and I put them there and you put them at the manger, they weren't there. The stars that led them and told them Jesus had been born, that was supernatural. Today, it hadn't been 3 years ago, one of the big magazines, I saw the cover. Scientists now believe that two stars converged and the astronomers... No! God created a light to show the glory of where his son was being born. So those who needed to know wouldn't miss it. That's what happened. You see, you get in the presence of these good folks, the intellectuals Jack deals with, and God bless them. Who else could invent the things the scientists invent? And they're smart in their area. And they're intelligent and smarter than you and I in their area. But they stay in their area. They know factual proof. They know factual truth. H2O is water. They know that. They know what to do with that. Who would think you could have liquid oxygen? I'd never heard of such a thing. Came on television a few years back. I never was. They were showing liquid oxygen and they had a tube. You know, like the thing you send at the bank and it takes your money and it's gone. You know that tube you send up. They had one of those. Looked like it. And it had a hamster in there. And nothing but liquid oxygen. I said, he's going to drown. You can't put a hamster in liquid. He was right in there, just looking around, running in there like they do on the wheel, having a big time. I said, look at this. I would have never figured that out. Aren't they intelligent to be able to figure that out? Isn't that wonderful? But what I know about the hamster that the scientist doesn't is who made him. You see, they have no revelatory truth. They don't believe that God spoke to Moses on the mountain. They don't believe he appeared to him. They don't believe he led the children of Israel through the desert with flame and cloud. A rock followed them behind with water. That's foolishness to them. They don't believe the Red Sea opened. They don't believe there was a worldwide flood. They don't believe anything in that book that goes outside of factual knowledge they can touch. They have no revelatory knowledge. You see, God works in the supernatural realm. Show me your soul. Show me your spirit. Show me a thought. Show me what love is. Show me what justice and mercy are. Show me what righteousness and holiness is. Do you want to live in a world or have a God who doesn't know all that? Or exemplifies all that? I don't. Jesus is saying, where'd your God come from? Across the water? The Messiah will come from heaven. The Messiah will leave the realms of glory and will enter the earth in the womb of a virgin. He will live a sinless life. He'll be crucified. He'll be buried. He will rise again and defeat death. And that is the Christ I'm here to get you to think about, Jesus is saying. And we ask you, what think ye of Christ? Another man to you? Smartest guy you ever heard of? Miracle worker, at least a good magician. What think ye of Christ? Head preacher? Leader of the seminary? To be sought after by those who want to do nothing and just sit down and hum hymns till he returns? No. That's not what you think of Christ. To think of Christ, you got to say, why did he come? He came to die. Why didn't he just stay where he was? Because he loved the world. He loved you before you were ever born. Well, how did he know that? Because he's God. Who else could know that? He came that the scriptures could be written and that they would be fulfilled, and he knew the scriptures. When the devil came to question Jesus, do you remember what he always did? Confronted him with the scriptures. You remember how Jesus always answered? Quoted scripture. That's the truth. Even the devil knew it was the truth. He would just try to twist it a little bit. And Jesus would come back with the true truth and answer him. Psalm 89. The Lord God said, once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. That's a promise, a swearing, a vow by the Lord God Almighty that David's throne will be established again in Israel, and he will rule from it jointly with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to wipe the Jew off the face of the earth, because God said his seed will endure forever. You're not going to disrupt the program that the Bible set forth, because the Jews will inherit the land. They're going to lose some battles. They'll be run out again. Jerusalem will fall again. But in the end, the throne of David will be reestablished when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And the Bible says, and his throne will be as the sun before me. It'll always be there. If you can put out the sun, you can put off the Jew. I wouldn't try it till then. So Jesus is asking the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what do you think? Who can bring total peace to the earth? Everybody's been looking for peace since the Garden of Eden. First man on earth started a war, killed his brother with a rock. We've been looking for peace ever since. I don't even know the number I should. It's less than 100 years total of peace that's been on earth since time records have been kept. There are 43 wars going on at any one time on the average on the earth. 43. You hear of a few. There are more to come, by the way. Bigger ones. Louder ones. Ones that will involve people who have turned their back on the Lord God Almighty. Judgment on nations who have turned away from their Savior. Can you not just look at history? My mother was from England, and I think she knew everybody over there. Bless her heart. And we'd tease her about the English and Americans and all that, you know. And I said, did we ever thank you for the Beatles? Oh, she'd hit the ceiling. Okay. It was the time when the English Empire had the slogan, the sun never sets on the English Empire. I mean, it was everywhere. Okay. At that same time, if you will check, England was sending more missionaries around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ than anybody else. God bless them. I mean, he sent them to nations that they inherited with a flag, not even a fight, because they honored him. England turned its back on God. Today it's headed to be a banana republic. And Islam says it will be the first European Islamic nation soon. Turn your back on God. Well, we're America. You know, we have a church on every corner, and we have the seven. Yeah. But you have turned your back on God. And the judgment that came to every other nation that turned its back on God will come here. I promise you. Well, what can we do? Go back to where we belong is what we can do. Well, that seems simple enough. Why won't we do that? Because our Congress and Senate and presidents and kings and chiefs say, oh no, we'll do it our way. Doing it your way's got us where we are. There's an old saying we used to teach the salesmen we used to train. Do the same thing the same way, you'll always get the same results. Well, I'm just not making any money. You're not talking to anybody. I saw three people last week. See three a day. Change your ways. No, we're going to have an all-encompassing nation. Listen, folks, we glad to have everybody here. I was half and half. I was Canadian and American until I made a choice to be an American and had dual citizenship, as did my brother. But when I became American, I became an American. I didn't become a Canadian American. There are no hyphenated Americans. Get that straight. You're not a black American, white American, yellow American, Islamic American, Dutch American, Irish American. You are either an American or you aren't. Don't bring... Right. Okay, but we are multicultural. No, we aren't. We are multi-ethnic. We have many ethnic groups, all equal under our law. We have a culture. We don't want to change it. We don't want your culture. You left your culture because you saw our culture was better. If you don't like our culture, don't want to get a Social Security card, don't want to pay taxes, don't want to abide by our laws, then please go back to where you liked it better. Don't want to be multicultural. Still enjoy a taco. But I don't want to be multicultural. You see where they had a Mexican? I'm not mad at the Mexicans. They put a Mexican flag above an American flag on a building, and some good American citizen tore it down. God bless him. God bless him. And if one goes up around here, look to get me out of jail. It's coming down. I promise you. I thank you. Either get me out or get in there with me. Tear the rest of them down. See, it's time for America to be America. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Dixiecrat, Strom Thurmond. Strom was everything. Republican, Democrat, Independent, Ku Klux Klan member. They're joining the NAACP. He was everything. But the one thing people knew he was, is that he was a South Carolinian and an American. That's why they kept voting for him. He could win now and he'd been dead 3 years. Put his name on the ballot, he'd win in a minute with write-ins. Not write-in for him. You see? We got to do the same things to the question. Ask the Pharisees, who were the lawyers, what think ye of Christ? Jesus asked it in a different way than we ask you this morning. Jesus came. We have a record of it. Those intellectuals who met with us last week didn't even believe in God, let alone Jesus. You can't talk to people like that. You can't do anything with them. Why? Bible's already labeled them as a fool. How you going to educate them? God Almighty said if you don't believe in God, you're a fool. That means empty-headed. That means you know nothing. That means you have no truth. On your deathbed, call for the physics professor. Call for your famous philosopher. Call for the best man in the literary field who can write the prettiest prose. Call for the poet. Call for the mathematician. Call for an artist. Call for a musician. What hope or help can they give you? But the Christian, on his deathbed, answers the question, what think ye of Christ? And lays there and says, Lord God, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. One of the greatest Christians, if you can grade them, who ever lived, was a Greek scholar. Preached 50 years, wrote commentaries on the scripture. He was dying. He was blind. He's in the hospital, and they knew he was leaving shortly, so they called a few people to gather around and pray with him and sing some hymns as he passed on over to be with his Lord. Few no names. Adrian Rogers. Billy Graham. Three or four more like them. The family was there. They got around the old man's bed and prayed with him and cheered him up and sang a few hymns of the church. He'd been blind for years and his eye sockets were hollow. You could tell he was sightless. All of a sudden he sat up in bed and he was looking in the corner of the room. You can tell when the blind man has got his attention somewhere, and it was definite. This man was looking at something. When they all got quiet, he said, well, there's the city. And there's my mother. And there's Jesus. And I didn't do him justice. That was gone. Don't tell me. The death of a unbeliever's different. I told you last Sunday I can take you to the place. An atheist died screaming, backing up. Don't let them get me. Please don't let them come. The preacher with him, preaches in Conway, just retired, friend of mine, Randall Jones. Randall said, who's getting you? He said, don't you see him in the hall? He said, no, I don't see anybody. He said, do you hear the chains? Don't you hear him rattle? He said, I don't hear anything. He said, well, they're here. Do something, do something, do something. Bam! Gone. Hundreds of cases just like it. Just like it. My mother used to, bless her heart, got to be 90. I'd go up to my brother's where she lived in the little village next to him and visit at Christmas sometime, and we'd go, and then she'd have a heart attack, then she'd have an operation, then she'd do this and that. And I said, now look, I love you. Do not call the family together again unless you're going somewhere. It's 1,000 miles I have to drive up here to see you. And she'd just grin. And she'd say, yeah. I didn't get to go to her funeral. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to see my little mom in the box.
I didn't want to see people crying. I wanted to see her just like I saw her last time I saw her, sitting in the bed with that big blue Bible on them little knees. Turned and read. 90-year-old eyes with glasses, skin that needed ironing. Reading and looking and saying, son, so what you reading, mama? She said, the 22nd and the 23rd and the 21st Psalm. 24th. I said, you are? She said, yes. I said, don't you know it's a trilogy? She said, he's promised to take care of me here. He's prepared a place for me to be with him later. And he knew it all before I came. And I can hardly wait to see him. I said, go on home. Go on home. I'll see you soon. Save me a place for Debbie Norman at the table. Fix me a plate. I hope they got Mephibosheth across from us. I kind of fit in with him. Lost, undone. No hope, no help. The son of David came and said, he's worthless and helpless and hopeless, but I'll take him. And I'll see you again, little lady. What think ye of Christ? Name in a book, religious figure, good man, or Lord God Almighty and your Savior? There are only two choices. I hope you've made the right one. If you haven't, won't you change your thought pattern this morning and say how wonderful he must be? I hope one day I can know him like some of these Christian people I see around here know him. I want to know their Jesus. I want to know their Savior. I want church like they know it. I want the Bible like they read it. I want to know the Lord God from heaven. I want to know Jesus personally. Ask you this morning where you sit, you just bow your head and say, Lord, I'm lost, I'm a sinner. No use to go over it all. You've already got the record. But I've heard you're a forgiver, and I heard that you wash away my sins if I but call on you. And this morning, I want to call on you to make me a child of the living God. I'll do my best to learn more. I'll come to church somewhere. I'll begin to read your word, and I'll get to somebody that knows that it can help me. But Lord, help me. I'm helpless. And I promise you this morning, as you leave these doors, you will be in the same family as Billy Graham, Adrian Rogers, this sweet little gentleman right here, Harold Pierce, Blind Bruce. Where's Blind Bruce? Bruce, I know you can't see me. I can't see you. Raise your hand. Yeah. Somebody knows God, can't see. Smiles bigger than some folks. Laughs more than most. Happier than people you'll meet tomorrow. Why? Because he knows the Savior. If you don't know him today, you pray, Lord Jesus, save me. That's all I have to do. If you mean it, the Bible says, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you haven't, you do that. Join this happy family. We'll be here a few more years, but we'll be together later forever. I hope to see you there. Good news, Bruce. You get to see me there. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good you are. How wonderful it is to read your word and to know that you love us. How wonderful it is to know that we have a supernatural God. If I had a God, I had to prove by fact I wouldn't have God. I have a God I must receive by faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me.
thank you for coming again to set up your kingdom and go and let me be part of it. Me and everyone who's called on your name and has believed who you are. What think ye of Christ? You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my God. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen.